Okay, tonight we learn one of the world's favorite haftarahs, except for the Balei Kriya, for whom this is not one of the favorite haftarahs. It is the longest, and it's not an easy one either.
We're ready all night.
What?
We're ready all night.
For sure, I did all night. Oh, okay.
Well, I guess we
11:45. Okay. Oh, here we go. All right, so we have the story of a woman named Devora, who is very early in the list of the Shaiftim, and is a very unique person. Devora Isha Nevi'a. Devora was a woman who had Nevu'ah, one of the seven women who had a Nevu'ah that was given L'dairais. Eshes Lapidais, the wife of Lapidais. He shaftas Yisrael ba'esahi, and she judged the Jewish people in that day. Now, Eshes Lapidais literally means her husband was named Lapidais. In English lore, the name Lapidos for a man is a man who's dominated by his wife. And that became a slang expression, Lapidos. What's interesting is that there are some families that have that last name. Somebody in Tarvat Asta, I asked them how they have such a name. He said, well, my wife said that's what we gotta use, so he stuck with the name. But it's very interesting that there's such a name, because in English, in secular English law, Lapidoth is the name of a man who's dominated, the name of a man who's dominated by his wife. It's only surprising that not more people have that name. Now, Devora's uniqueness, is twofold. First of all, that despite being a woman, she became, a great person in Klal Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael is set up so that the greatness of women is mostly in their home, in their family, and not out in the, among people. And also that she judged. She was Shaifta Es Yisrael Beisai. She was a judge. Now, halacha does not permit a woman to serve as a judge, Alts Gezeres HaKosov. And the question, therefore, is how she was Shefetes Es Yisrael. Tosis in a few places in Shas asked the question. The simplest answer is the fact that people are allowed to accept upon themselves anyone as a dayan. If two people agree, even Nemana Layaba, even if it's a close relative of one of the two litigants, if you accept it, then it's a binding dintayru. And that would be the simple idea that she was beloved to Klal Yisrael. She judged Klal Yisrael. And v'hi Hashem is tachas taimer devaira. She stayed under a place of judgment was under a palm tree. Ben Harabah, Ben Beisel, Behar Ephraim, Ve'yelah, Ve'yelah, Ben Yisrael, Amishpat. So the pasuk implies that she didn't send hasmanis. The people came voluntarily to her. And she sat tachas taimer devaira, the Gemara says, because of Issa Yichud. She didn't want to be stuck with men in a place where she's not allowed to be alone, indoors. And therefore, she was under a tree that has high branches.
Even a man alone not supposed to judge.
Even one man alone is not supposed to judge, but if the people accept one person as a decision, then it's one person can judge. Okay. Now, Rav Moshe has an interesting insight into the idea of women in Tanakh. Women in Tanakh, for the most part, are anonymous. The names are not mentioned. Even the great mother of Shimshin, Eshes Manayach, is Eshes Manayach. We have Gemara, which tells us the name, which might answer the question because it's a very difficult name. But anyway, so why is it Tznius? So why is Devora and Esther? Why are they mentioned? So Ramesh has a very nice insight. Ramesh is bothered by the Yardei Mitzrayim, the list of the 70 people who came down to Egypt, and they're almost exclusively male. Now, had they all been men, then it wouldn't be such a kasha. The women are not mentioned. But Serach Bas Asher is mentioned. And Devora, who was born Ben HaChomos, is the 70th one, according to Rashi. What? No, Yocheved, rather, who's born Ben HaChomos, is mentioned, and she's one of the 70, so it disturbs Ramosha. So, Rashi says that the twins that were born with the Shvatim all died. And, Ramesha, among others, rejects such a medrash, because it's not likely that Yaakov Avinu lost so many daughters, and the pasuk doesn't even mention such a tragedy that would happen, and the Gemara doesn't mention it. So I'll be Jewish, anything could be, but in pshat, it's a very difficult idea. So Ramesha has an idea that he writes that later the ksavim of Rehuda Chassid were discovered, and he says this, that in general, a man and woman are considered pal gufa, considered chad gufa together. And therefore, for the most part, the wives are not mentioned because they're considered a shutif with the husband in the things that they did. The exception are those women who achieved independently of their shutfis with their husband. Those who achieved independently, they're mentioned by name. What? Eshes Lapidus is really the other way around, in a sense.
No, I'm saying she was the dominant one.
Oh, she was the dominant one, yes, the other way around. Excuse me? So the Imos and the Avos reached Madragas on their own. The Sosemis says this by Sarah. Avram's name was changed to Avraham so that he could give birth to a nation. And Sarah's name was changed to Sarah. So there's a Sosemis here that says that really, if Avram's name was changed to Avram, so Mimela, there would be a Klal Yisrael. But Sarai was changed to Sarah because she independently had a darga of greatness. And that's why her name is mentioned. Her name is mentioned separately.
You know, not to change Avram's name, and that's Sarah because then he could have had it through Hagar. He could have had it through somebody else. If Avram,
all right. Well, if you're not going to change Hagar's name, you're not going to change Sarah's name, you're going to have to take somebody who didn't change the name.
That's okay. You have to change Sarah's name,
because
it was only from Avram.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. That could be.
The first time Sarah was mentioned, Milcah was mentioned as well.
The first time
Sarah was mentioned, Milcah. Abi Milcah, the Abi Yisrael.
Yeah, okay, there are other, there's no question, there are other women that are mentioned. But always, I suppose it's always for a purpose. And the pasuk says, "Kol ha-nefesh abo mitzrayim yotze yarechai, milvad nishe b'nei Yaakov, kol nefesh shishim v'sheish." Ramesha teaches, all those who came down, milvad nishe b'nei Yaakov, means even those twins that were born, that were nishe b'nei Yaakov, are not mentioned because of this reason, because of this idea. Now, there are two midrashim that are together in the Alkut Shemayni. One, there's a machlokes who the husband of Devira was. According to one, he was Barak, who we're going to learn about momentarily. According to another, he was an Amoritz. Lapidais is that Devira saw he was not a learned man. She had him make the wicks for the Beis HaMikdash. Lapidais is a language of a flame. And that was what she had him do. He was in charge of making the wicks and going down to Yerushalayim. And we see in that the greatness of Devira that, even though she must have been disappointed, I don't know who read the Shidduch in the first place, but she must have been disappointed to have such a husband. But she had him realize his potential, whatever his personal potential was. And there, so the Gemara says that the Yalkut says he was an Amoritz. The Yalkut also says one of the beautiful languages of the Yalkut talks about the fact that she was a female, and it says the following: Matiba shal devirish and the snabis al Yisrael v'shafda isam. What was the uniqueness of Devira that she judged and said nevuah for the Jewish people? How like Pinchas ben Allah Zayimid? Pinchas was still alive. Pinchas lived for either he was Elio, even if he wasn't Elio, we certainly find him alive quite a bit later. And we find him alive a few prakim before this, near the end of Yeshua. Pinchas is alive. So the Medrash answers as follows: Meir ani alai shemayim va'aretz, lashon of a shvua. Bein Goy, Bein Yisrael, Bein Ish, Bein Isha, Bein Eve, Bein Shivcha, HaKoyel Lefi Maisev Shal Adam, Ruach HaKodesh, Shoyra Olav. It says that she just deserved it. She just deserved it. And Derech HaKadosh was Shaira on her because of the Madrega that she reached. Even though Pinchas was alive, but she reached the Dargo where she deserved to be the Shefetis of Klal Yisrael at this time. And that's what happened. You have to realize a Shefet during the period of the Shefetim was not chosen like a Melech. A Melech is chosen by the Sanhedrin, is chosen by a formal choosing process. The Shefetim were chosen by the people, just by popular demand. The people followed somebody very much the way Gedolei Yisrael are chosen today. It's just by popular demand. And a person, Rav Moshe, I have somewhere at home, there was a New York Times article. New York Times used to be two Shnei Chalakim every day. The second section was was about the city. And they, on the cover of the second section, had a beautiful picture of Rav Moshe. And an interview with him, regarding the fact that he's the Godel Hador of the Orthodox community. There was no Haredim in those days. This was in the 70s. So they asked Rav Moshe, how did you get elected the Godel Hador? People call you Godel Hador. So Rav Moshe said in his humility, it's printed there, he said, the way it works by us, there's no Congress that elects anybody. People call you a Shaila, and if they like what you said, they call you again. And if they think you don't do it, more people call until by enough phone calls and people coming in with Shailas, you become the person who answers Shailas. That's how Ramashi answered, and that's the way it is. Now, what's interesting is that among the Malachim, as you know, plenty of them were failures, plenty of them were Rishayim. Among the Shaiftim, they were all great people. The people that Klal Yisrael chose were all people of stature. Now let's see just a few psukim. I'm not going to finish the Haftarah for this week, in all likelihood. But let's learn at the very beginning. Vatishlach vatikra labarak ben Avinayim. Certainly the most amazing piece of the Haftarah is this. The next three psukim. She goes, now she's the Shefetes and the Neviah, she goes and calls Baruch ben Avinayim, Kedesh Naphtali. But Tamer Elam, she says to him, Halaitziva Hashem Elokei Yisrael, God said the following, Lech, Umashachta Bahar Tavar, go to Mount Tavar, which was in last week's Haftarah, V'lokachta Imcha Asera Salofim Ish B'dei Naphtali B'dei Zvul, take, not a gigantic army, 10,000 people, only from these two Shvatim, B'dei Naphtali and B'dei Zvulon. And she's saying in the name of Hashem, "Umashachti elecha el nachal Kishon," and I will draw to you to the valley of Kishon as Sisra Sartzva Yavin Vesrichbei Vesamaynai, and I will draw to you Sisra with his chariots and his hordes of soldiers, Satiu biyadecha, and he will be given over into your hands. Now these are the words of a navi. You can go to the bank with it. It's the Satiu biyadecha is a promise. If you'll come with me, I'm willing. And if you don't go with me, I won't go. Now, this is a very difficult thing. The Navi says go, and he says, if you'll go with me, I'll go, and if not, I won't. It's a nevuah, yichayim misa, if you don't go. So Rashi seems to be bothered by this. Rashi says, there was no nevuah saying, you, Barak, have to go. The nevuah was, lechu b'shachti, go and I will draw Sisra there and he'll, and there's no specific commandment for Barak to go, so he didn't have to go. But the other Mefarshei Navi disagree. They say that the Pasha Pshad is that it was Alpi nevuah that Barak personally was commanded to go. And that being the case, it's a very difficult understanding. How do you refuse the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a Navi? So the Ralbag, who's one of those who says that this was a command, the Ralbag later on Pasuk Yud alludes to the following teretz. The Kayach of Klal Yisrael is the betachin. The betachin Yid has is what gives Klal Yisrael a special kayak. We have in the Gemara that even when a person was by Teach and a bar and a chulda, that it came through. In other words, having betachin comes through. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, when he's told to bring slav for all of Klal Yisrael, give me to all of Klal Yisrael, Hanichi Arisi Asam Azeh, Amanechi Letitia, did I carry these people? Did I give birth to them? On that, in the Sichas Musar, Rav Chaim Shlomis writes that had he been the mother of these people, and they had had, they would have faith that the child has faith, the mother can do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, then if they be by Teach in me, then, you know, then perhaps, there's still no guarantees. But then perhaps I can do it. But I'm not. And without a betachin, miracles don't happen. What makes things happen are the miracles. So Baruch said, who am I? Who am I? You called me from Kedesh Naphtali and bang, I'm going to go and say the Nevuah. I'm going to go and say Klai Yisrael, they're going to have betachin in me. If you, Devaira, come along, the people will have the proper betachin. If you're there, then the people will be confident that...
He's saying, I'm not turning it down because I don't want to go. I'm turning it down so that the people will rally around knowing that she's here.
Right. That's right. The necessary betachin has to come with you.
When,
if it doesn't, I'm going
to
be a failure.
The leadership role that it's supposed to do, and he was afraid because of Aaron, said that then Moshe lost his kuna. He would not get the kuna. It was delegated and relegated to Aaron. So the fact is that with all his cheshbonos, he still was a punish. He was still something taken away. I don't want to use the word punish because it doesn't use. Or punished, it says,
Kadosh Baruch said, you don't want to be the leader, you won't be the leader.
That's right.
You got what you want.
But here, even though you have good Kadosh Baruch, he's telling you that, said, go. It was for me to go. He says, I need that.
A leader in Klal Yisrael always puts the people's needs ahead. And the people had to be baitchim, and this is the way, you'll be a baitayach. And that's what he said. He was saying, if you don't go with me, it's not going to be the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that the people go with the betachim b'Hashem, and it's just not going to happen. That's the idea. Now the answer is even more surprising. But Taimer, listen to what she says. Halach elechimach, I'll go with you. However, what's the downside? Efes ki loy siya tefartecha al haderech hashato haylech. You will not get the honor. Deserving of the path that you're going to be traveling on, ki biyad isha yimkar Hashem es Sisra, because people will say that God gave Sisra in the hands of a woman. Atakam devarah v'telech in Baruch ketsha, and the devarah got up and she traveled with Baruch. So it's very interesting. She says, "I wanted you to have greater honor, and you'll be the general. You'll be the leader who makes it happen. But it's not going to happen." Because I'm going along, so that's talk of what happened afterwards. Because I'm going along, it's going to be different.
Is that he needs honor?
So it's interesting. He needs honor. He said that you're not going to be a leader for Klal Yisrael. As much as you could have been, you're not going to be. Rav Schwab has a very interesting insight into the parasha. Rav Schwab is not prone to saying things out of left field. But in Parashas B'Shalach, he says the following. We find the Shira of Moshe Rabbeinu, and followed by Devaira, Miriam, who also says Shira. Now there's a break. There's a one passing break. We have the Shira of Oz Yashir, and it goes to Hashem Yimloch La'olam Va'ed, and then we have a non-Shira pasuk. Ki Vosos Pari Beruch Mivrasha Bayam. Which seems to be redundant. And then, she went and she sang Shira. And for some reason, she said a shorter Shira than Moshe Rabbeinu. Shira, usually. Moshe says Shira. You'll say Shira, you'll say the same thing. Especially the Gemara says that, Shira Lashem Ki Goy Goh. Actually, she said Ki Goy Goh, but anyway, Rav Schwab says the following explanation. He says, the Noshim, Sidkaniyas, were in a higher Madrega in Betachin, in Mitzrayim. Then Klal Yisrael, Beslus Noshim, Sidkaniyas, they went out of Mitzrayim. He says the following. Klal Yisrael did not say Shira until they saw the Yeshua was complete. Even Pash Pshat of the Pasuk is they said it after Vayesh Hashem Yom Yitzrayim. Vayar Yisrael Yitzrayim, Yisrael Sasayam. The Pash Pshat in the Pasuk. What? Is they saw them dead. They saw them drown. The Gemara says that they were nervous that Kishem Sha'anu Oilim Mitzad Zeh, Heim Oilim Mitzad Acher. They were, even after everything, they were still nervous. So they didn't say Shira. The Pasuk says that the first Shira was said by the woman. After the men said the Shira, it says, because when Klal Yisrael was still B'Sechayam, before the whole thing happened, the Nevuah, the Shira of Miriam, had actually happened earlier. And she said a short Shira. She said, the women said a Shira. Period. That was her Shira. And Moshe Rabbeinu and the men first said Shira afterwards. So the Hashira was actually before. It's certainly not the Pash Pshat of the Seder Psukim. But this is Rav Schwab's, or I say, is not prone, you know, Torah Tamima very often says these things in left field. Rav Schwab is very, very limited by Pshat. And nevertheless, he says this. So to a certain degree, Shira's Tavaira fits. It's the woman's Shira. The woman's Shira fits well. We're not going to finish Shiras Devara this year. Hopefully next year you'll remind me to stop from Pasuk Yud. The Parshas Mishalach. Okay.